This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Last week, Antoinette and I took a short field trip to the University of Arkansas campus.
We did. I went because I heard there were swords.
There were swords and daggers. It was all part of Brett Yount's week-long workshop.
Mm-hmm. He was here in town teaching actors how to use combat skills on stage, help making convincing. He is a University of Arkansas graduate, and he actually now lives overseas.
In London. He is a certified trainer with the Society of American Fight Directors, and he's also a master teacher with the British Academy of Stage and Screen Combat.
Yes, and part of the reason he was here is because he's a visiting McElroy family professor.
And what you're hearing behind us right now are the sounds of 22 theater students fighting with swords, rapiers, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And once the class was done, he did not want to take his eyes off 22 young people with daggers and swords. Once that session of the workshop was done Wednesday morning, he talked to us. We both asked him questions, and I asked him how long it takes an actor to convincingly be able to fight on stage.
30 to 50 classroom hours. I mean, if you come back on Friday afternoon and watch them do their performances, you'll see them doing the same things. They haven't been training with daggers, but you'll see them doing the same things with swords. If we had introduced them all with daggers at the beginning, they'd be as good as they are now with daggers and rapiers as they are with just rapiers. So by Friday, some of them would be every bit as good as that. Some of them would be okay, just like anything.
Part of what you're doing here is you want these actors, when they're on stage, when they're in their role, to be believable. But you've got to keep, I mean, there's a certain amount of safety involved here too, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, safety is of paramount importance. Everything that we do talks about safety, and inherent safety factors built into everything that we talk about. Some of it is explicit in that I talk about it in the actions that I do. Some of it is implicit in that we have talked about it before and they understand that movement has the same action as what we've done before.
So as a teacher, is it challenging teaching actors who probably don't have any experience in combat at all?
I wouldn't say challenging, it's fun. Getting someone to get to that level is what's so exciting, you know, and quite often, truly, if I will have people in any one class, especially of a class this size, I'm going to guess that there will be two or three people in a class this size who will actually be better than I am. Even though I've been doing it longer, they're physically more gifted than I am, and so they're going to be better than I am. You know, I graduated in 1989. My knees gave up in about 1999, and so you know, I have the ability to teach them. But I can't remember his name, but the guy that talked Nadia Comaneci, remember the big fat guy that
Bela Karoli?
Yeah. He couldn't do the things that she could do, but he could teach her how to do it. And that's what I do. I teach people how to do things that I can't actually physically do anymore.
You've worked with both people who are on stage and on film.
Yep.
If you're on film, even before CGI, there were cuts, there were edits, there were second takes. You're working with someone who's going to be on stage. They got to nail it inside that.
Yeah, the differences are there are two major differences, I think, in film and theater. One, film requires you to go full out. You have to go as fast as you can, or the camera sees that you're not fully committed. On stage, quite often, if you fully commit, the audience can't follow the story because it's too fast. Film slows action down slightly because it's only 24 frames a second. Our brain fills in the other bit, which means it's not quite as fast as it is when we're watching it in real time. Yeah. The other thing, of course, is on stage, they might have to do it 158 times, 375 times, I mean, however many, you know, 8 shows a week for however long the show runs. On film, you might only have to do it once. You know, if everything works the first time and the director's like, yeah, we got that in the can, let's move on, because that's costing money. Those extra takes are costing money. Whereas on stage, you have to do it every time that a paying audience shows up.
When you get hired to do like a film, and you mentioned different styles, how much freedom do you have to design things? I mean, how much of it is the director saying, this is what I want? How much of it is here?
It completely depends on the director. I mean, you have people who are, they will sit in the room and they will go, I don't think the character would do that move. And you have people who go, show me, come see me next Monday and show me what you got. And oftentimes they'll go, don't like the middle bit, love the end bit. First bit could probably use a little bit of work. Maybe if you do this to it, that to it. So it's completely varied. It just depends on them and how, and their way of working, you know. You get those directors who will do 102 takes of someone closing a door. They're not going to let you go develop 7 minutes of their show without them, you know. You get someone who completely trusts you and has worked with you before, and quite often they'll go, you know what I'm looking for. Just bring it back to me. I got other things to do. Bring it back to me, and I'll tell you how it fits together for me.
In film, how much do you have to consider, like, the camera angle versus the stage, where it's just, it's there?
It actually works the other way. In theater, where your camera is, where your audience is determined. On film, you can often create a fight and go, I think the camera will go here. And then the director will look at it and go, well, I think it might actually go here. Fine. You know, or you find that it's something completely different. It's not very often that you have to change a move for the camera unless it's in a set position. And then obviously it's just like theater, but you can often just move the camera.
Does this translate at all to self-defense?
No. The thing is that in a real fight and in martial arts, I don't want you to know what I'm going to do to you until I've done it. I don't want anyone to know what I'm doing until it's over. In a stage fight, I want everyone in the room to know what I'm doing before I do it, because I'm telling a story. In a real fight, I'm trying to hurt you. And the only way, if you know what I'm doing before I do it, you'll stop me. Yeah? So on stage, I want everyone to know what I'm doing so that they're following what we're trying to, the story that we're trying to tell. Because a fight on stage or in film or television, it exists there because the writer or the director felt that it was telling part of the story of the characters, and so we've got to tell that story, so everyone's got to understand what's going on.
And I know one of your credits include Troy, and there's a lot of people in that movie, and it seemed like there were very large fight scenes. So how do you even go about trying to design something with multiple people?
Well, my responsibility on Troy was not the individual fights. It was about the background action. I'm not absolutely positive. This is my understanding of what happened, was that Warner Brothers filmed Last Samurai. And then when they got into post-production, they realized that a lot of the background fights with the extras were people just kind of being very, not looking like they were fighting, looking at the camera, playing with their hair, talking on their phone. And then they had to reshoot, and it apparently cost them millions. And so they thought, we're going to get someone in. We've got this other battles film coming up. Let's get someone in to sort it out. So the guy who was doing the protagonist fights is a friend of mine, and called me and said, do you want to do it? And I was like, of course I want to do it. Yeah. And so my responsibility was, if you see a battle scene or a protagonist fight in the battle scene, what's happening around that was my responsibility. And what happened was, we had lots of extras and we had quite a few stuntmen. And so around the protagonist, we'd have a thin circle or a semicircle, depending on where the camera was, of stuntmen. And then we'd have extras, and they had been graded. So they've been taught how to fight, and they'd gone, oh, they're really good, they're okay, they're not very good. And so, they were green, yellow, and red. So we'd have a semicircle of stuntmen, and then we'd have a semicircle of greens, then we'd have a semicircle of yellows, and then we'd have a semicircle of reds. Well, the reds got rubber weapons, and we're told just to wave them in the air and scream. The yellows were maybe given two moves, and they just repeated them over and over. The greens were given a little more choreography. But again, they had like two or three phrases of choreography, and we'd go do A, you do B, yeah. And then the stuntmen created their own choreography, and my job was to make sure that they weren't doing the same things. A film set is kind of like high school, and the stuntmen are the jocks, yeah. So if they see someone do a cool move, they want to do the same cool move. So I'd sometimes walk up and watch the same five fights or the same 20 fights and be like, you know, they're doing that. You've got to do this. And so it's with the extras, it was about creating choreography, and with the stuntmen, it was about adjusting their choreography so that everyone was doing something different on the screen at the same time.
We visited with Brett Yount last Wednesday on the University of Arkansas campus.
He is a U of A grad, and he was here teaching 22 theater students the art of stage and screen combat.